I invite you to stand as you're able for the hearing of this morning's gospel, which comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. Please join your hearts with mine for a moment of prayer. Holy God, we thank you for this day that you have called us together to worship you and to remember. We thank you for the gift of your holy word. And we ask, O Lord, that you would be in the thoughts of our minds, the meditation of our hearts, but especially in the words of my mouth, that they would be acceptable to you, O God, and continue to bring glory to your holy name. You who are our rock and our redeemer, our savior and our friend. Amen. This morning, as we gather here, we gather to remember all the saints who have gone before us. But we also gather to remember the saints here and now, the saints that are still among us, the saints who live as faithful children of God. So even as we gather to remember those loved ones whom we've lost this year, we also lift up to God a prayer of thanksgiving for those who have been a part of our journey, those who have shared with us a legacy of love, that strong foundation that our lives are built upon, but the strong foundation as well that our congregation and community has been built upon. The reading that we heard this morning from the Epistle of John is a reminder, as I shared with the children, that we are all part of a great family. We truly are all children of God. We've been adopted into God's family. And for those who are adopted into the family of God, we are heirs, heirs with Jesus Christ. We have the same family responsibilities and the same family promises. The responsibilities of being children of God here and now is to stay in love with God and to share love with one another. That's what the first letter of John is all about. How to be faithful to God as God's children, staying in love with God, but also staying in love with one another. When we pause to remember those who have been part of our life's journey, those children of God who have been a part of our own lives, we are reminded that even though they are not physically present here with us, they live on. This week I found this quote from William Penn. And William Penn wrote at the death of a beloved member of his family, "Those who love beyond this world are never separated. Those who love beyond this world are never separated." And then William Penn added, "Death cannot kill what never dies. Death cannot kill what never dies. Our legacy is the gift of God's love present in this life and present victoriously in the life to come. Love can't die. God's love never dies. God's love lives on in us, just as it was present in the family of God in the first century. It's present today, and it will be present into the future. God's love and that legacy of love continues on." Joe also read for us from the book of Revelation. That book of Revelation is sometimes avoided by folks because they're fearful of it. Probably some of that fear comes from popular movies and book series like the Left Behind series that would highlight all the tribulations of the end time, all the things that we would need to be afraid of when Christ comes again. It's a fire and brimstone type book. But in fact, that wasn't the reason that John wrote this vision. John did not share this revelation to scare the pants off us. John wrote it to be a word of hope, a promise of consolation and comfort. It's a book that was written for a folk that was persecuted. The children of God were having a very difficult time. And so in John's vision, there's wonderful scenes of hope and promise about what the new kingdom, what heaven will be like. And that passage that Joe read for us this morning is just one of those glimpses where the elders, the 24 elders, are around the throne of God. And surrounding those elders is a great multitude that can't be counted. Every people, every nation, every tribe, every language is there. The elders probably represent the 12 tribes of Israel and the 12 disciples of Jesus. But that great multitude represents all that have gone before us throughout the centuries and all who will continue to stand before the throne of God. It's a wonderful promise. They all gather there together. There's no differentiation. They are all part of God's great family, all children of God, all singing the same song of salvation, all remembering that they are there because of Jesus Christ, the Lamb. They are the ones who wear that white robe that's been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And yes, some of them are martyrs. Some of them have been a wonderful mixture of saint and sinners, yet they all have reached that throne of God because of their belief in Jesus Christ. Revelation shouldn't scare us. It should remind us of the promise that all of us one day will be before the throne and be with the Lamb. It's a wonderful promise of hope for children of God here and now. The Beatitudes that I read this morning from the Gospel according to Matthew was Jesus' first sermon in Matthew's Gospel. He's climbed up a mountain and he sat down and his disciples are there and the crowds probably have gathered around as well. And he starts out this sermon teaching about what the kingdom of God is like and what it will be like when it's finally reestablished, when God's rule will come. And he lifts up those who would be blessed. Now, sometimes that's translated those who would be happy or bravo to those who have accomplished these things. But in reality, what Matthew's Gospel and the Sermon on the Mount is saying is that it's about being blessed in the same way that the psalmist in Psalm 1 talks about being blessed. And Psalm 1 starts this way. Blessed are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked or take the path that sinners tread, but their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. The Beatitudes are about a right way to live with a future promise. It's not just all looking to the future when God will come, but Jesus wants the disciples here and now to practice that, to live that out, to practice righteousness and mercy, to travel along a right path that would lead them to the kingdom of God. It's a promise that all those who follow that right path are never alone. They never walk alone. The Lamb, the Shepherd, are always there to help folks to travel that right path. They're never alone. Children of God never walk alone. They never have, and they never will. We are called today to be those faithful children of God, to strive to live walking that right path. We are called to live out those Beatitudes, to live righteousness and mercy. We are called to be a legacy of love here and now for those who will come before us. William Jackson, in an article on All Saints Day, wrote this: "How blessed we are by the loyal witnesses who have been our teachers, our mentors, our critics, and our encouragers in enabling us to grow and mature in our faith. Our legacy includes a countless number of faithful witnesses who have taught us to know and believe the good news of the Word of God. We soon learn that in times of hard trials and difficult decisions, the witness of faith shared with us by our mentors continues to provide incredible strength, not only for our own benefit, but also for our witness to others. In Hebrews 11:4, the writer tells us that Abel has died, but through his faith, he is still speaking. Our legacy as children of God is to remember that even though our loved ones have died, through their love and compassion, their instruction and correction, their laughter and tears, their honesty and humility, their sacrifice and dedication, and most of all, their faith, they are still speaking. What a great legacy to claim for ourselves and to share with the world. We are the children of God here and now that will provide that legacy of love for those yet to come. On All Saints Day, as we remember those who have gone before us, and we also recognize those saints who still travel the journey with us, we are also encouraged to be those who will share that right path with others, so others will know the wonder of God's word and the grace of God's will. So today on All Saints Day, as we remember, as we recall, let us invite others to know how wonderful it is to be a part of the great family of God. O blessed communion, fellowship divine, that we feebly struggle, they in glory shine. Yet all are thine, for all are Yet all are one in thee, for all are thine. All are one in thee, for all are thine. We truly are God's children, now and always. And let us live that right path. Amen. And let us be in prayer. O Holy God, as we gather here this day, we gather remembering our loved ones who have gone before us into your nearer presence. We come with thankful hearts for all that they have given us, and we thank you for the remembrance of them and for their love that never dies. As we gather, O Lord, this day, we are mindful of those who need to know that gift of your comfort, your hope, and your promise. We lift up to you on strong arms of faith those who have lost loved ones this week. And we pray, O Lord, that your Holy Spirit, which provides a peace that we can't begin to understand, will be with these families now as they grieve and are in a time of sorrow. We pray, O Lord, your presence with them this day and into the days ahead. We continue, O God, to lift up on strong arms of faith our loved ones who need to know you as the great physician. We pray that your healing embrace would surround all those who continue to be hospitalized, who are undergoing treatment and therapy. We pray, O Lord, for those who will be having surgery in upcoming days. And we pray, O Lord, for the many who are battling disease and illness. We ask, O Lord, your presence with them and with their families and caregivers, that you would strengthen them as well. And we pray, O Lord, that you would help us on our daily journey to remember these your children who are going through such difficult days. May we truly remember them and offer them to you. O Holy God, as we gather here, we are mindful of the situation around your world, and we pray for your children, for your great family around your globe. We pray for those who continue to be hungry and those who know warfare. We pray for those who need shelter and clothing. We pray, O Lord, for your children who are in need in every place this day. And we pray that through our prayers and through our lives that we would reach out to these in your family that are connected to us. O Lord God, this day we just ask that you would help us to realize our place in your kingdom, that we truly are your children, now and always. Amen.